Our scripture today is Psalm 131, one of the very short psalms, but full of meaning. A song of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. It seems that the Spirit of Christ was working through David in this psalm, as in so many others. When in the first verse of this Psalm 131, David speaks of his refusal to put himself into the place of the Heavenly Father, in that he is not seeking to understand things too high for him. This means that the secret purposes of God the Father in all he is allowing to happen is not always understood by his dearest children. And that should not surprise us. David describes himself in verse 2 as a weaned or a weaned child. That is, a child that is satisfied with his mother's milk and thus can rest quietly on her breast. This means that he leaves great and wonderful things going on in the world around him, to the sovereign Lord himself. He leaves some things alone. It's a great blessing. It's a focal point of your peace to be able to leave some things alone. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, they are very happy and they're very well off. That's kind of what blessed means in modern English. Well off, happy, truly given a great achievement in your innermost life. They're well off because of their faith in God, especially because they leave to God the running of the world. You might say that, and that is a silly thing to say, you leave to God the running of the world. Well, I don't know that it's silly. Maybe so, but some people cannot leave anything alone and are worrying about every kind of thing that they ought to know is going to be taken care of by God. Contrasted to that, the weaned child is content on his mother's breast. He is willing for the mother to be concerned with the larger world outside their close relationship. It's enough for the child to be sheltered on his mother's loving breast. Now, my wife and I were blessed with 5 children, and from time to time we saw something of that, the rest of the child depending totally on the mother for sustenance. An old hymn says, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport, all divine. In a love that cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Now, David held a very high position in Israel of old. He was king. He became king. Yet, for the most part, with some exceptions, he remained humble in his heart. His humility was a result of God's grace to him. It kept him usable by God. His affections towards the Lord kept his attitude like that of a little child, for the most part, some exceptions. In other words, David was resting on the Lord and thus leaving great matters for the Lord to handle. You are truly well off when you learn to leave some great matters that far surpass your competency, leave them to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to handle this. That's a major part of true happiness while you are on this earth, to leave some things to God to handle, especially that surpass mine and your limited capacities. Leave what you cannot handle to the Lord. How about that? You say, everybody knows that. I don't know if they know it or not, because I see many that don't do it. But if you learn to leave to God what you cannot handle yourself, then guess what? Your hands are set free, your feet are set free to do what you can do. And you can do a lot of things. Things that will keep you busy and productive in his service if you leave the big things, the major things, to him to handle, and you trust him. You turn it over to him in prayer, then walk past it and do what you can do. That's one of the bases of a really happy, productive, calm, serene life. Now, great and wonderful things, I could quote it in Hebrew, I won't do it, but great and wonderful things belong to God. Don't seek to take them on your own shoulders. Offer up great and wonderful things to the Lord in prayer. But do not think that you yourself can be the final answer. I've known over the years of people that worried a lot, and it was my assumption after talking to them that they felt like they were the final answer to these matters, but they were not, and I was not. What we do is pray, do best you can, pray and leave it in the hands of God. And he will do what suits his holy will. His will is better than mine and yours, because he sees and knows all things and can control all things. Now, to turn some things over to God in prayer is one of the ways of avoiding being proud or anxious. And it's one of the sure foundations of true meekness. Blessed are the meek. Meek have learned to turn over some major things to God and walk past it. this avoids the presumption of taking on too much upon ourselves. And then being publicly embarrassed because we couldn't handle these things that we shouldn't have taken on anyway. Yes, we're to be available to God, but only as his humble servants, responsive to his will. The Holy Spirit will show you when and where you may intervene to his glory. There'll be places where God calls you to do something in line with his clearly written will in Scripture. But sometimes the Lord clearly says to us in one way or another, stay out of this. One old commentator said, roughly 200 years ago, it is sad to see children playing with sharp swords. And we who are parents know why. I have one or two antique swords that are fairly sharp. And I keep them up in a high place, and particularly keep them hidden when grandchildren are visiting. And you know why. One of the great things we teach children is their limitations. And part of their limitation is to avoid what is dangerous to you, let's say physically. But to engender a proud spirit, to let them think that nothing bad can happen to them, they're so great and wonderful, is to handle them, to hand them a two-edged sword with very sharp blades, both sides. The thing that matters most in this question is not that we tell them not to be proud. I mean, tell them that, yes. But to be humble ourselves by the grace of God and to show them that we are aware of our limitations, then they'll understand. To leave great things to God requires strong self-control. Think of when your children leave home to go off to the university or say to the army or whatever. Marriage. New situations, new job. You have to leave them to God. And it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, this matter of self-control, to leave some things to God requires self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit. So be always seeking the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, limitation of self. And God will give it to you if you ask him. I have at times thought of, let's say, a parent whose child is wayward, and they come to you and ask for prayer, which you're glad to give. And I've thought a parent that is asking prayer for a child who's off the track at present, that parent is in a realistic place, a good place, because he or she is looking to the Lord and realizes it's going to take God to intervene in this situation to make it better. if they keep asking. I've found over the years great things do happen to grown children, to children that are out from under your personal control, if a parent is praying and asking. Believe me, I've seen much of that. It's the same, let's say, if you have an alcoholic in the family. It's very hard to handle an alcoholic. One of my great uncles by marriage was a terrible alcoholic for 50-some years. But he had a noble Christian wife who prayed for all those, I suppose, roughly 50 years. And she learned to keep praying, and she lived to see her prayers for her alcoholic husband gloriously answered. And he was humbled and changed and transformed. I saw that, at least the later years of it. Now, the last verse, verse 3 of this psalm, tells Israel to hope in the Lord. It does not tell us to be more self-confident. That's the message you would get from much of modern America and modern Europe. Have more confidence in yourself and try harder. You can get this job and you can outstrip others. But this is not saying that. It doesn't deny you should do the best you can. That's given. But it's saying if you want help, go to the real source, not yourself, but to the Lord of heaven and earth. Getting real help is based on what we could call true humility. True humility does not mean beating yourself down and pretending you're worse than you are. I used to know a man years ago in Dillon. I think he was a Christian man. I don't doubt that, but he certainly had the weakness of trying to say he was more humble than he was, which is, in a sense, a way of pride. But I think he was saved. I'm sure God received him. But real humility is not not pretending to be worse than you are. Don't do that. Don't even talk about it. Simply be aware of mine and your own limitations. Be aware of your limitations. That means that in our life, since we are aware of our limitations in so many directions, we have to keep turning to God to help us. That's the smartest thing you can do. Turn to God to help you. It's a great blessing when we realize that something is too big for me to handle myself. That's not depressing. That's not terrible. It's a tremendous blessing to have realized that some things here that God Himself knows are too big for me to handle. So what to do? Turn them over to the Lord Himself. Lay them at the feet of Jesus at the cross. That is a way to victory. You're a person who's achieved a great deal in God's grace if you learn to turn things that are too difficult for you over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm begging you to handle this because it surpasses my limited power. And you know what? God will do that. God will do that. Keep turning things over to the Lord day by day as you go through a world where often you will discover that you're more limited than you thought you were when you started. So what to do when you become keenly aware of your limitations? Turn them over to God, who does for you what you can never do for yourself. That is the way to victory. Turn these things over to God. Difficult people in the family. Yes, you got to do the best you can. I understand that. Turn him or her or them over to God. Financial shortage. You got to do the best you can. We all know it. Sometimes doing the best you can is not sufficient to get you back up to where you need to be. Turn these limitations over to God, and he will do it. Trouble in your job, and you're doing the best you can, it doesn't seem to be working. What then? Don't give up. Don't become angry. Don't become depressed. Turn this over to God and see what he will do. That is the way to victory. Now, there's an old gospel hymn. It's not great music, I can tell you that, but it's got a good point. It's called Victory in Jesus, and I want to conclude by quoting it. O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him and drew me closer to him. O victory in Jesus, O glorious victory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray.